Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you? I'm closing chapters, I'm turning pages. Glory to glory, and from faith to faith, I'm moving on. Older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on, I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare.
Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here tonight. Hallelujah for another edition of Wounded No More for this Thursday, March the 9th, 2023. Now, my brothers and sisters, if this is your first time tuning in to Wounded No More, I want to tell you that your anointed host is none other than Pastor Vanessa Carver. Now, Vanessa Carver is a beautiful wife, mother, intercessor, pastor, prophetess, prophet. This woman is a woman after God's own heart, and you are sure to be blessed. So, my brothers and sisters, get something to write with and write on and retrieve your Bibles and prepare to receive a word from your host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. Good evening, everyone, to Wounded No More. Well, we are still on it about forgiveness and unforgiveness. But with the book that we are, the companion book that we've been using since this series started in January, called Forgiving What We Can't Forget. Actually, this series started last year, and I just decided to keep going with this topic because it is such a well-written book, and it is such a well-written study, and the workbook has really been such a blessing to me. In every session, I want to encourage everyone who's listening to get in your mind and get in your heart, what is God saying to you specifically about your situation as it pertains to this topic? But I want you to be encouraged, and I don't want you to be downtrodden or look at this as impossible or look at this as hard, because with God, all things are possible. And I want to encourage you every show to know that you can do this, because with God, you can do anything you need to do, even forgive, especially forgive. And so this author is called, her name is Lisa Turkiers. And the book is called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. That in your mind, because it may be something, if you don't have, you may want to go get. You may even say, I'm just going to do the workbook. You may even say, this is something that I may want to purchase and give to someone else. But at the end of the day, it is truly a blessing, and I'm not just saying that. It has really blessed my life. It was given to me as a reference about 2 years ago by a therapist that I was in therapy, and she mentioned this book. We were going through trauma narratives that I had to write, and it was really, really hard. But I thank God for her honoring the fact that my faith. She knew I was a Christian, and she was a Christian too. But this was one of the books that she had given me, and I was like, or she had suggested that I read, and I was like, this book has been life-changing, and I really wanted to share it with you all. So tonight we're going to be talking about loss. Now you may want to, you may want to understand or just saying, what has loss got to do with unforgiveness or forgiveness? It has a lot to do with forgiveness. This is in page 153 of the book, of the workbook, how to forgive when you can't forget. It's a companion workbook that goes along with her actual book. Is very good too, very well written. And she's talking about loss. And you know, many times when I'm using this guide and I'm going through my notes and everything else, I, of course, the Word of God is first and foremost should be emphasized. But also I want you to understand that when you look, we all have different perspectives of our process of forgiveness. What does loss have to do with it? Well, as I read through chapters 12 in the book, which is one of the suggestions that we do, I was really trying to understand myself, like, what has loss got to do with anything when it comes to forgiveness? Well, there's an aspect of this that we don't talk about a lot, because reading her book, I'm telling you, it opened up my eyes to the many layers that come from unforgiveness and the many layers that come from choosing to forgive in Christ, because who we are in Christ is a new creature. But we don't talk about these things in the depth that she does, and yet she has had some personal experiences that she brings to the table and shares. But I feel like that issue with unforgiveness can touch all of us in different ways. She talks about loss as it pertains to rejection and how your relationships shift. And then she talks about how bitterness sets in. And many times when we are struggling with loss. She talks about grief. Now, we can talk about there's been grief and loss in so many ways, and I believe that this study is touching on both tangible and intangible areas of grief. What have you grieved about? What are you grieving about? It may have been a loss of a person or a loss of a situation or something tangible or something that you would never utter to anyone else as it pertains to your areas of loss. But she started to talk about the spirit of rejection and what happens when your relationship shift. Excuse me. And all this issue of loss, this issue of rejection and grief has to do with, it's kind of like the root system of unforgiveness. if you will. Excuse me. It is the root system of unforgiveness. So believe me, it is connected. And so as I began to read through everything she was saying, I said, I never thought of it. But then she also mentioned bitterness as well. When we don't grieve in a healthy way, when we stay in places of unforgiveness and rejection, it turns into bitterness. And this is one of the subjects that she hit very, very hard. And so if you can remember or account for any time in your life where you've experienced loss, any kind of loss, and whether you're over it or not, you need to begin to navigate through this. And we're going to touch on that because it produces something. It's not just there. It's not just a stony place. It is a creative force. Just like love is a creative force, you know what? So is unforgiveness. So is hate. So is bitterness. All these things have creative activity in your life, in your heart. The heart, which we have talked about through this whole study, is your heart and the things that come out of it and how unforgiveness and forgiveness both affect areas in your heart. Tonight is no different. We're going to talk about how bitterness and how these things in our heart can keep us from forgiving. And these are the things that she stems from loss. She talks about loss of a relationship. She talks about when people reject you when you love them. She talks about, you know, and it can, I think in some cases it can, in many cases it can have to do with a job. It doesn't have to do with something intangible. It can have something to do with tangible things. But we're going to always, as always, which is the most important part of these lessons, is going to the Word of God. The Word of God is the structure. The Word of God is the scaffolding. It's the root of and foundation of everything that we do, because we want God to be in the presence of this. And so when we begin to read His holy word, His sacred word, His powerful word, His loving word, there's so many different characteristics in this. And we're going to start with Proverbs 4, Proverbs 4 and 23. Now, she mentions how when your personal loss came because of another person's foolishness, selfishness, meanness, or irresponsibility, sorrow can quickly invite bitterness. You didn't even know you were capable of. Okay? So when your personal loss came because of another person's, she said, foolishness, selfishness, meanness, or irresponsibility, sorrow can quickly invite bitterness you didn't even know you were capable of. But instead of being just an invited visitor, bitterness wants to move right into your emptiness without permission. I just love the way she writes. I love how God has really anointed her to say the words just right, to hit you right where it needs to. At the time, you may not even realize it or recognize what it was, because at first bitter feelings can feel quite justifiable and oddly helpful. Isn't that something? Justifiable and helpful. So they come disguised. Bitterness comes disguised. Where sorrow has over time made us numb, bitterness at least allows us to feel something. That's powerful. This is so powerful and so much needed. But with time, she says, with time, bitterness doesn't just want to be something that awakens some feeling. It wants to become you. It wants to become your only feeling. Bitterness doesn't just want to roam with you. It wants to completely consume everything about you. Demonic in nature. The way she described it is probably the way that God gave her that, and she described it so eloquently but so poignantly. Like, it's, you can't doubt that's what bitterness does. It really does. So when we read in Proverbs 4, this is about the heart. And this is why it's important to know what's in our heart, because it says in Proverbs 4 and 23 that we should watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. You know, when we refuse to address our hurt, a lot of times it's because we're not doing the much needed surveillance over our hearts. There's things in our hearts we are not always aware of, and bitterness will disguise itself, and there's other things that will disguise itself, but bitterness is a good one. And she really delves into this in detail. And it's really, she says we need to ask ourselves these things. How does this verse that we just read reaffirm the fact that there's no such thing as a little bit of bitterness? Wow. And we must deal with it as soon as we see it. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That means you're on guard, right? For from it flows the springs of life. But a lot of times we don't recognize it. And, you know, even in us not recognizing it, this is where our prayer life has to come in. This is where God can begin to show us, and we just always stay open to his leading and his guidance. Because there are sometimes, there's a time and place to address it. I think that there's times in our lives that we're not ready. We don't have the capacity to address the things in our heart. But I do believe that there's times when God begins to heal us, and it's a slow thing. It's incremental, where he said, okay, now, I'm not babysitting you no more. I'm going to show you what's in your heart, because I love you, and I don't want you to be deceived, and I don't want you to be in a place of arrested development, and I don't want you to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, right? So he begins to show us what's in our heart. I've had things happen where I've had dreams, and I woke up, and I was like, what was that? And he was like, that is the stuff that's still in your heart, you know? And I was like, man. And, you know, all you can do is be full of thankfulness, because he's not going to keep you blind. But bitterness will keep you blind.
That's right.
Bitterness will keep you blind and bound. So she's going to go. I'm going to go through it with you guys, all the different things that she says bitterness cloaks itself in. Okay. But first, let's read Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ, who believe in him as a personal Lord and Savior. That's from the Amplified Version. Now, the reason why I read that is because we don't need to be feeling condemned, because we know there's areas of bitterness. Conviction is where there will be change and transformation, right? So you don't allow the enemy. There is now no condemnation, right? You're in Christ. Jesus doesn't mean you don't have bitterness there. So you have to say, okay, the Lord convicted me. Convicted without movement, conviction without change is just noise. It's what I call it is it's when we begin to formulate these false ideologies. So we have to know that when conviction comes through the Holy Spirit, there will be change, because we are in Christ. So don't get condemned, get convicted, and don't let the enemy condemn you. Say, there's not no condemnation. I'm in Christ, and he's my personal Lord and Savior, right? So, but we do need to leave room for the Holy Spirit's conviction. Like I just said, we can't address what we don't acknowledge, right? So she wrote all of this stuff. I'm not going to even begin to read about it, but I will skim over. She says, place the check mark beside each of the following indicators you see in yourself. Now, these indicators have to do with the spirit of bitterness. Derogatory assumption is one of them. A grudge that feels increasingly heavy inside you. The desire for the one that hurt you to suffer. Skepticism, that most people can't be trusted. So you're really skeptical and cynical. Cynicism. Which I was going to say that cynicism, being cynical about the world in general. And, you know, when I see that in Christians, I'm like, something ain't right. Something. It's just you cynical and negative about everything. And it's like, are they aware how skeptical and cynical they are? Doesn't mean everything is lollipops and sunshine either. But that cynicism is almost like when you're really around someone who really has that spirit, they just are full of that. It's almost like you hear a hiss. Like a snake. I have heard it. And it's like the cynicism and the skepticism, it sounds sinister when you hear underneath it. Maybe that's just my ear as a prophet. I do hear that sometimes. I've heard it in others, and guess what? I've heard it in myself. And I say, that should not be. That should not be. He'll allow you all your senses and everything. When you totally are submitted to the Holy Spirit, like it says, we are, he's our Lord and Savior. He'll allow you to understand that like something under the hood ain't right. You know, I'm not a mechanic, but I know that people that when I'm around mechanics, like my dad and different ones, they'll drive a car and they can hear stuff and say, okay, that's the, and you'd be like, what are you talking about? Because they understand how a car runs, right? So they'll hear certain things that we wouldn't pay attention to if you're not a mechanic. But, you know, we have an inner knowing, an inner knower, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he'll allow you to hear things inside your heart. He'll allow you to hear it. He'll allow you to feel it. She also talks about resentment toward others whom you perceive moved on too quickly. Resentment. Negativity cloaked as you having a more realistic view than others. Isn't that something? Negativity cloaked as you having a more realistic view than others. That, you can sit on that and think about that for a minute. I'm going to say it one more time. Negativity cloaked as you having a more realistic view than others. Let's just keep it real. I'm going to keep it 100. You ever heard that? People using that all the time? I mean,
yeah,
all the time.
Amen.
I'm keeping that 100. You cynical. There's bitterness there somewhere. I'm telling you. She says, obsessing over what happened by replaying the surrounding events over and over again, like a broken record. This is also another one. One-upping other people's sorrow or heartbreak to show your pain is worse. So you're competing. Oh, you went through that? You know, I went through this too. And, you know, and it's like trauma bonding almost. There's an element of that there. She said, snapping and exploding on other people whose offenses don't warrant that kind of reaction. So you're overreacting. Becoming unexplainably withdrawn in situations you used to enjoy. She says, covertly recruiting others to your side under the guise of processing or venting. Wow. Rejecting opportunities to come together and talk about things. That means you're rejecting anything that could build or to tear down something. And when I say build, I mean build a resolve, build a place of healing, or tear down these things that have, oh, you're not down for that. You don't want to hear nothing about it. Stiff-arming people who don't think the same way you do. Now, I say that's you trying to, that's intimidation to me when you start stiff-arming people. Demanding unrealistic expectations, irrational assumptions of worst-case scenarios. It's a very long list, and there are some things I didn't even mention, but she goes hard with this. And she said you need to spend time processing your answers to the last questions. I mean, she said, which indicators are you surprised to see in yourself? And once again, we're not talking about being condemned, right? We're talking about being convicted, because conviction means change. Deciding, okay, if I'm convicted by that, I'm going to change. I'm going to renew whatever it is that you need to do. So in Psalms, I'm going to read the next one is Psalm 73, verses 21 through 26. When my heart was embittered, this, I can believe this is David, and I was pierced within as with the fang of an adder, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to honor and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock and strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's an awesome psalm. is David. When my heart was embittered, I was pierced with, and he's describing his frame of mind, you know, what was going on with him. And I was senseless and ignorant, and I was like a beast before you. But God was still there the whole time, because remember, David was a man after God's own heart, but yet he dealt with bitterness. I'm sure he did, considering the things he dealt with just one scenario I can think of, and that's Saul, his own son, trying to kill him too. I mean, he went through a lot. So there, the bitterness set in, and he dealt with a lot of loss as well. So that is a great psalm, because but my flesh and my heart may fail, and we are still earthen vessels, but God is the rock and strength of my heart and my portion forever. Because as we mentioned before in Romans 8 and 1, we are in Christ, and we believe him as our personal Lord and Savior. So he is ours and we are his, right? Doesn't mean you won't deal and struggle with bitterness or be convicted by it. So we might think God pulls away from a heart that is filled with and acting on bitterness, but what do these verses say? What does Psalm 73 say? He does instead. He's a rock. He's our strength. He's our guidance counsel. You know, he is the one that guides us. And, you know, even though we feel our immortality, we feel, okay, I feel less than or whatever the case may be, he is still there with us in these vulnerable places where we're weak, where we realize I'm full of bitterness. There's bitterness here. So we need to surrender our souls. These truths comfort us, but as we begin to address our own places of bitterness, we need to come to a place of true surrender of our will, our mind, and our emotions, and that's the soul. We have to be willing to let the Lord and the Holy Spirit deal with us in that place of loss, of rejection, of whatever it is that brings us to that bitterness, and we're there. Next thing you know, we're sitting in that bitterness. Not a maybe or I don't know. You really are sitting in that place of bitterness. Not only does God stay with us in our grief, he calls us to sit with others, okay? Not to commiserate, not to compete. In their grief, we see this truth in Romans 12 and 15, where Paul instructs us to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We also find this call in the story of Job. And remember, Job's friends eventually do end up overstepping their boundaries later, but initially they come to his aid. And I'm going to read Job 2, 11, and 13. Now, this component to me is about having a support system in Christ, in the body of Christ. Well, and, you know, I don't want to use that word in a glib way, you know, because we hear that a lot in our culture. But when we are in the body of Christ and we're in Christ, it's more than a support system, because there's true intercessors, there's true people that are covering us in places of vulnerability, you know, in the fivefold as well in other areas where we have bonded. When we read Job's story, they're grieving for him because of all his loss. Have you ever gotten to the place where, and you know this is one of the key factors, indicators of bitterness, is when you start to isolate yourself and you don't want to tell people where you are in your heart because you're ashamed or guilty or whatever it is. But it's important for us to know how to unite in this place. And in this case, he was mourning. They came to mourn with him. And of course, this is also a Jewish tradition. It's called, you know, Shiva, when you have friends and family come and sit with you when there's a loss. So three, and then Job 2 and 11 and 13, I'm just going to read this. Now when Job's three friends heard of all his adversity that had come upon him, each one of them came from his own place, Eliphaz, Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and to comfort him. when they looked from a distance and did not recognize him because of his disfigurement. They raised their voices and they wept. Each one tore his robe in grief, and they threw dust over their heads and toward the sky in sorrow. And they sat down on the ground for Job for 7 days, and this is called keeping Shiva, and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. And I thought about her including this in the book, thought about, okay, Holy, you know, Holy Spirit, what would you have to say about this? And it's really the part that I'm hearing the most is how when they saw him, they didn't recognize who he was. And they begin to grieve because of how they saw the adversity had affected him. You know, when your intercessors or when you pray for the body of Christ or when you serve in any aspect, we talked about this yesterday on Daughters of Naomi about what we see a manifestation of not understanding or God saying, you know, these people have gone through some things. These young women have gone through some things. You need to see them the way I see them. And I think that when we begin to see adversity on our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially how bitterness has eaten them alive, and in some cases some people have infirmities in their body, you know, depending on what they have been going through, grief can do the same thing. Loss can do the same thing. They grieved for them, and they came and sat with him and supported him. So this is beyond the support system. Body of Christ is more than just a support system, you know, and we need to learn how to do that for one another. And I think that this is a key part of her mentioning this, is how important it is that we're there for one another, and we grieve and for one another, and we intercede for one another spiritually and naturally. So just understand that what you're looking at is not what you're looking at. If you see any of these indicators that I mentioned before in yourself, you more likely will see them in other people. But just know, just like Job's friend saw him from afar and said, that's not, who is that? And they grieved because he was so disfigured from what he had been going through. Many people are disfigured spiritually and naturally from what they're going through. God will show you this is not who they're supposed to be. And they are not walking in who I've called them to be because of whatever they're going through. And there have been times when I would have to work the altar at different ministries I was a part of, and I would see the person coming up and getting prayer and see two people. I would see who they are and who they really are. God would allow me to see that. And he said, so this is what you pray over them, that this facade and this thing that this has created will be removed from them, this affliction. So I just want you to be mindful of that as servant leaders, as those in the body of Christ. In Colossians 3:12-14, it says, so as God's own chosen people who are holy, we're set apart, sanctified for his purpose and well-beloved by God himself, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is a perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. That's a lot. 12 through 14 in Colossians 3. So, chosen by God for this new life of love. We are chosen. We're God's chosen people. Doesn't mean you won't deal with bitterness. Just means that you need to let God deal with your heart. Like I said, surrender in those areas of your soul. Ask God to strengthen you, to help you do the work that's going to take, to have that stuff removed from you, because it will create, and it will. It's not there to just be there. It's there to take over who you are, who you're supposed to be. It's like a cancer. I would say bitterness is like a cancer. And many times people studies have been shown that there are certain things that manifest themselves in the body. Unforgiveness is one of those things. Bitterness is one, and they manifest in infirmities in your body. And I know that cancer has been said to come from places of bitterness and unforgiveness, and it manifests in your body, in your very cells. And those rebellious cells is what cancer really is. And it's a spiritual thing when you look at it that way, how it will manifest sometimes in your body. So as we begin to wrap this up, I'm going to read, I read Colossians, and I talked about putting on the heart of kindness and humility and gentleness. It's something that we have to choose to put on in light of bitterness, knowing now that bitterness has a core of hurt, not just a core of, that's the core of hurt, she said, is bitterness is about not anger, it's about hurt. Because remember, anger is a secondary emotion. So it's about the core of hurt. How might remembering the sorrow and pain have deeply shaped who you are and who they are and changed the way you think about and interact with them. So we need to understand that that root of bitterness is there to shape something, and it's not going to be for our good, especially since we are in Christ. So we got to ask the Lord to help us deal with it and say, you can't stay here. You don't live here. You can't stay here. You got to get pulled out. Can't deal with this. You're here to take over my whole life and take over my whole heart, and I'm not down for that. I'm in Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. You see how it generates a level of conviction, of course, but confession as well. Speak that stuff over your life. Speak the word over your life. Begin to speak against bitterness, but know and trust and believe that you are going to have to do the work to remove it. You know, you're going to have to be honest about where you are to examine yourself. So we have to know to be like Christ is an intentional choice. It's not easy. Please, it's not, especially in our society when people are writing whole books and encyclopedias and libraries about justifying, you know, holding on to hate or justifying holding on to unforgiveness. They may not call it that, but there's ideologies that have been set up to justify that. So we need to understand what that really is and come out of agreement with it, and not, don't make it so deep that you can't come out of agreement with it. Come out of agreement with it. The last scripture I'm going to read is in Philippians 2. This is a long one. I believe in God's holy word, and I believe it's important for us to read it and then go back and study it. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, be like Christ. Therefore, if there is any encouragement and comfort in Christ, as there certainly is in abundance, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship that we share in the Spirit, if there is any great depth of affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being the same of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this same mind, same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility, who, although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it, but emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bond servant. Being made in the likeness of men, he became completely human
but was without sin, being fully God and fully man. After he was found in terms of his own outward appearance as a man for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I kept hearing this all day, this last verse, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, you know. And I just want you to be more than encouraged. I want you to make a decision. I want you to pray for an understanding and pray for enlightenment because of what you've heard today, not from me, but because whatever this lesson is saying to you, what the Lord is saying to you, it's not about my voice. It's not about what I came with. It's about what you're hearing the Lord say to you even before this lesson was presented as it pertains to this subject and topic of unforgiveness. Even if you can't forget, you can choose to forgive. And best believe, if you have not forgiven, there is bitterness somewhere residing there in the crevices of your soul.
Yes.
You need to decide, okay, I'm not doing this. I'm not on my watch. Especially because you are a child of God, because you are in Christ Jesus, and especially because as you serve, you better believe. These are the things that we deal with. No one is untouched by this in some shape, form, or fashion. But you remember all the indicators that she mentioned? I was like, what? You know, so you have to just do a checklist, and you have to do it prayerfully. Be courageous, if that's what it's going to take for some of us. Be honest to be courageous. Be courageous to be honest with where you are. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Say, Lord, I don't have it in me, but I know you do. Please help me to do this. Please strengthen me. Please help me to focus. Please let me follow through. Please show me how I can do this. Show me what it looks like for me. Not for Minister Carver or whoever or anybody else to compare and all that. How does it look for me to forgive? Break it down to me. So that's just an example of a prayer that you talk to him like you would talk to someone that you're close to and you sharing your heart with. But I'm going to tell you this. You pray like that, you better believe you're going to hear something. Praying from a heart of sincerity and desperation, you will get an answer. And don't be surprised if it's very, very quickly.
Yeah,
that's happened to me. I cried out from a place of sincerity. He answered immediately. And it didn't mean that what he gave me to do or what he showed me was easy in my flesh. But spiritually, I was like, okay, I asked for it. I got it. So I want you to be, I just want to thank you all for letting me share this with you. I have one more lesson after this of forgiveness, and then we're going to move on to, just to give you a highlight for next, the next couple of months after March, is going to be, I'm going to hit hard the spirit of rejection.
All right.
And that's going to be the next series for the next two to three months. I'm going to hit that hard as well. But I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I'm going to end this session with prayer. I just thank you, Father God, today for this time that you have allowed, for you speaking so clearly that you really did allow me to decrease so you could increase. I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for it didn't go and will return void. It went out to do something. And I thank you, Lord, today for the increase. I thank you, Lord, today for the testimonies, for that heart, for that man and woman of God, Lord, that will hear this thing as it pertains to the root of bitterness and as it pertains to loss and grief and rejection and all the things and all the things, Lord, that you're saying to them as it pertains to it, that we guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life, and not to take this lightly and not to be lackadaisical about it, or not to be trite about it, or just overlook it. Father God, encourage that man or woman of God, Lord, to face these things, because this is where the motives come in the heart.
Yes.
And I know, Lord, you strengthen us, Lord, and open up the eyes of our understanding, because some of us are already studying this topic, not just about forgiveness, but about the heart. And so I pray, Lord, that you open up the eyes of their heart, that it's not just,
yes,
it's beyond theory, that it's something that they do. You present the word to us, Lord, for us to do it. So I thank you, and I love you, and I thank you for this opportunity to share, and I love your people, and I pray, Lord,
yes,
that they be healed in every area of their life, and that they expect that and pray for it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen, and glory to God. You have indeed been listening to Wounded No More, and Pastor Vanessa Carver, as she has presented another excellent, excellent breakdown and study of forgiving when you can't forget. So we just pray again that you receive something, that you heard something that touched your heart. Hallelujah. And we pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. On tomorrow, you can catch Brother Rick Altman, and he will be breaking down the Ten Commandments, hallelujah, from a different perspective. Thank you, Jesus. And then on Saturday, you can join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. So on behalf of myself, Apostle Shalene Cook, for the Spirit Alive servant leaders that are present, and for Pastor Vanessa Carver, your host and facilitator, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from your household, from our household, excuse me, to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everyone.
Good night,
God bless you.
God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Love you, Deacon.